Xavier Canon, who's a curator down at the exhibition that's on at the La Trobe Regional Gallery, and Mark Thiemann, who's the director of the gallery. Now, Mark, we like to sort of talk a little bit about your background. So, Mark, we might start with you. Being the director of the La Trobe Gallery, I think there's been some refurbishments happening down there as well. So we wouldn't mind maybe firstly starting about your background. What is your background and your involvement in the arts? Where did it all start for you?
I'm a practicing artist. Spent many years in Europe and the US working, and still active, but of course in a reduced fashion once you take on a job like this. So I've been in the job for about 2 years as a director.
So Mark, how did it all start for you as an artist? You know, like when did you realise that's what you wanted to do? Was it way back, or was it just bang one day?
In 1984.
Right, okay. How do you know it was then?
Because I made a mistake in the studio and I liked the mistake, and I thought, I like this. I like the fact that I can riff off this material, and that I can then inform myself by looking at what other people are doing and start to develop a way of working. Now I would call it a language. Back then I would say it was a way of working.
Well, what sort of art are we talking about here?
Contemporary art, any medium. Not specific to any medium. Depends on the budget, depends on the context. Anything from performance to drawing to sculpture to installation with video or ephemeral or object-based work or text. It's really a more of a conceptual, poetic approach.
Okay. So how did you end up being director of La Trobe Gallery?
La Trobe Regional Gallery? Well, I'd worked for a couple of local governments just producing works for other artists in the public domain, and they all called me up and asked me if I wanted to apply. So I said, okay, and the door opens and I walk through it. So.
Right, okay. Mm. And why did you take it on? You know, like, did you like the idea of the challenge, or you just felt that the time was right for this this gallery?
I didn't know the gallery very well. And being an artist who is not commercially successful, I needed a backstop.
So, money to pay the bills, per se.
Yeah.
So when you got there, what was one of the first things you wanted to do? You know, like when you looked and thought, yeah, you've got this very successful exhibition that we're going to talk about a little bit later. But where did the ideas come from?
In terms of the gallery itself, it was very run down. The upstairs was carpeted. The walls are very, you know, very used look to them. The ground floor, as you walk in, the building had been messed with. Things had been placed on the outside. The entrance was ugly as sin. The cafe and the reception area were really badly designed. And yet the infrastructure of the building was quite good. So we commissioned an architect firm from Melbourne, Now Studio, NAAU, to research the building, and say we said to them, look, this is our vision. Strip the building back, let the building shine, and simplify it, and make it into a workable, beautiful exhibition space that where we can launch, you know, exhibitions of quality, no matter where they're from.
And so, and that was what, a couple of year period?
2 years ago.
Yeah. And it's
The building refurbishment took about 6 months. So we had this discussion 6 months ago.
Right. So and bang, all of a sudden here it is. You've got it's been refurbished, and you've got the new exhibition. So you must be very proud right at this very moment.
Very tired and very proud.
Right, good on you. Xavier, now let's get your background story. I can pick up a little bit of an accent. Where might you be from?
I'm from Belgium, like René Magritte, you know, but I'm in the French-speaking part of Belgium, which is in the south of the country. You know that in Belgium we are divided in two parts, the Dutch at the north, and I'm from the south, you know. Well, I'm a director of a museum in Charleroi in Belgium, which is about 60 kilometers south from Brussels. And I made my PhD in the French Paris University, La Sorbonne. And I also belong to the committee of expertise of certification of René Magritte paintings. And that's all I have been involved in this project of exhibition.
And how did you feel when all of a sudden you were invited to come over and bring this exhibition here?
I must confess that I never never have a thing in my life to be in Australia once, you know. It seems very far from us. But mostly, I never have a thing that Mark will come to visit the foundation because he had this idea to make an exhibition of the Magritte photos and document in the La Trobe Regional Gallery. We had a project to do a book. That's what we've done. We have made this book. It's printed now, etc. But a few years ago, we had this idea that the time are coming to make a book about all the documents and the stuff, the photo we discover about Magritte. But at the beginning, it was just for a book. You didn't think to make an exhibition. And that all the paths were crossed, and that the book became as well an exhibition.
Right. So, Mark, why? Why did you pick this artist to bring an exhibition here to Victoria?
There are a number of different reasons. I'd say that Magritte is one of the most important artists of the 20th century, and he's influenced a lot of artists. We can't afford his paintings. We can't afford the staff to research the 5 to 6 or 7 years it would take to assemble a show of paintings. And we wanted to show work which had never been seen in Australia before, that is, his photos and films, and which is not that well known globally as well. And, of course, you know, photos and films are easier to transport and costs are lower. But the other reason is that I was in Düsseldorf in Germany in maybe 18 years ago, and I saw to visit a retrospective of Magritte's paintings. And I was stunned when I discovered there were two rooms devoted to his photos and films, you know. And that stayed with me. And I think if I had not had that experience, not just of being surprised by his photos, but actually looking at the photos and saying, there's something here that I cannot put my finger on. I can't describe what he's doing.
Mm.
But I know he's being extremely multi-layered in his playfulness and his intellectual activity. And because I couldn't put my finger on it, it stayed with me more so than if I had been able to, you know. And if I didn't if I had not had that experience, the show, I wouldn't have even, you know, asked Xavier or the Magritte Foundation
for
that material.
See, that's the one thing that I love what you were saying about, you know, like his photography, how there was something about it that you couldn't put your finger on. Photography, to me, is such a beautiful art form and hasn't been recognised as much as an art form, but more and more these days everyone is looking at it very much as a true art form.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you're really...
Well, it's obvious that today photography is an art. You see photography everywhere, you know. There's museums of photography. The museum I had got 30 years. 30 years is nothing in the story of the museum of this century or the past century. So it means that it took a lot of time for photography to be recognized as an art. And for many people, and first for the collectors, photography haven't any value. You didn't have.
Yes.
You didn't know exactly how much copy you have. You know, painting is totally different. You got the works, this is unique, and yep. You know where it comes from, etc. Photography was something...
Well, how many prints
there
are.
Yeah, exactly, how many prints. So, and that's also the reason who made the photo of Magritte unknown for many years. We knew that they were there. We knew there wasn't hidden. But no one paid attention because people were thinking that there are documents only, you know, family documents, stuff that you can have in your own albums. And we figured out by the time, we in Belgium, we historians, we figured out by the time that there was something more, there was something different, and that, as he done with the paintings, Magritte had something different in his own photos. And that's why this exhibition is not about document. People don't have to be misunderstood about that.
Mm.
There's some documents, of course,
yep.
But there's artwork, yep. Mostly.
So tell me your idea of when you look at one of his photographs, what you see in his photography.
If you compare the paintings of René Magritte and his photography, you can say more or less the same. One of the best friends of René Magritte, Louis Kuttner, wrote a caption which is very, very interesting. He said, René Magritte is a great painter, René Magritte is not a painter. And you can exactly put the same with photography. René Magritte, I won't say, is a great photographer. René Magritte is a photographer. René Magritte is not a photographer. He used the technique of the photography, as he used the technique of the painting, to try to find something. He was always looking. Marc is just mentioning the emotion he had when he visited this exhibition because there was game. Magritte was playing all the time. When people will visit the exhibition, they will see the little movies he made in the mid-50s, early 60s. It's like 8mm with a friend. They are playing, but they are playing with work of art. They are playing with object. They are playing with items, things which surround us, exactly like in the paintings. So they're not a separation. He's a man who's always, first of all, he's a poet. First of all, he's a philosopher, much more before to be a painter and much more before to be a photographer. So his mind was always trying to find solution of the problem of the, as he said, the mystery of the world. And in this photography, we can exactly see the same man, the same brain who created than in the paintings.
Okay.
Now we're listening, well, we're talking to Xavier Cannone and Marc Thiemann from the La Trobe Regional Gallery. We just got a few messages, so we will continue the discussion in a sec. We just have you here on Joy 94.9 on Sunday Arts Magazine. We're talking to Xavier Cannone and Marc Thiemann from the La Trobe Regional Gallery. Well, Marc is. Xavier is obviously from Belgium, who's come over for the exhibition. And the exhibition that's on there at the moment is René Magritte, the Revealing Image Exhibition. Now, you were talking before, Xavier, about your part, your history, and where how you got involved and studied the Sorbonne. But you sort of went straight into the Magritte and your sort of specialization. Is that what you've done? Is that what your area of interest is? Doing a lot of research and work on René Magritte.
Yeah, I made my PhD on the Surrealism in Belgium, and you know that Surrealism in Belgium was very important. In 1924 in Paris, there was the Manifest of the Surrealism of André Breton. But in the same time in Brussels, parallelly, I will say in a parallel way, but not a crossway, there was another group. And at the head of this group was a man who was the first who wrote a text about René Magritte, Paul Nouget. René Magritte was only involved in that group in 1926. So for me, it was normal, you know, natural to know about René Magritte. But I must add something. The paintings of René Magritte are so familiar to my eyes since I'm a child, because the glasses he represents, the umbrella he represents, the houses in the landscape are typically Belgian. They're typically Belgian and even though they are international, they could be set anywhere. So that attracted me with René Magritte, that he was talking not about abstract things. He wasn't talking about, you know, another world or dream. It's really, really about our daily life, how we deal with the things around us. Is the glass that I use this morning to have my cafe, or this cup, is this cup is really a cup? Is there something behind this cup? He never wanted to take the world as the world has been seen by his own eyes. He always wanted to go further, to find a mystery. You know a famous painting of René Magritte, La Réponse Imprévue in French? There's a door with a big hole in the door, and there's a darkness in the next room, and you don't know what's the darkness. It's exactly Magritte's mind. We always have to cross the doors and try to go further to catch the mystery of our lives.
It's interesting you say that, because I actually have a print of a Magritte in my lounge, and the one that I have is of a little, looks like a little I don't know, a pub or a little house with a lamp in front of it.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
It's got the blue sky. Yeah. So if you look at
l'empire de lumière, the empire light.
If you look at the bottom half, it looks like it's nighttime, and yet you look at the top half, and it's all bright blue sky.
I'm glad you mentioned it, because it's typically Magritte. It's a very quick, simple idea: the day in the same time than in the night. And it makes you think about, is it real or not? You always have to have an interrogation about the painting. I was about to refer to my childhood. I feel really uncomfortable one day, because I didn't know René Magritte paintings as well. Absolutely not. I even didn't know his name. But I saw a reproduction of a painting you may know probably. It's the moon upper of the leaves. When you walk in the country field, you see the moon or you see the sun behind the trees, but there the moon was front of the leaf,
okay.
Which is incredible idea, and it created me a kind of strange feeling that I have to understand why. And that's René Magritte. He's not a painter because he don't want to show he know how to paint. You know, he was technically perfect. He even make fakes during the war to survive and to have money. But he don't want to show us he's a painter. He want to stay at the threshold of the images, those images which have to be strong, efficient, like in an advertising.
So when you get into this exhibition, how have you laid it out?
We rather think that it was better to make a kind of non-chronological exhibition. Yep. We didn't want it to give the feeling that it's an historical exhibition. So we divide exhibition in six chapters, which are chronological inside, but not all a long way. Chapters which show the different uses and the different meaning of the images. Of course, there's a family album to understand who are the father and the mother, the friends, etc. But as soon you come, you discover the friend, the team around René Magritte, which was very important. It was a real group, a real pack of friends. Then after, you start to discover another use, models for the paintings. And we set some reproduction of the painting aside because he uses photography for models. But in another part, it start to have artwork. And that's a very interesting point. That probably for me, the more important chapter is that some of the photos have never been used for painting. So they're real artwork. And it's a question for me why he didn't use much more photography. Probably because technically it was a little bit more complicated, mm-hmm. that he needed to have someone to help him.
Yep.
Front office easily was alone. He couldn't do it alone. But he made some incredible photography. So strange photography that could be seen as work of art. And another chapter is about the influence he received from the movie. And that's very important because he was born in 1898. So he had 2 years after that the movies was created. So he grew up with movies. He went in the cinema. So could you imagine what could be for a little boy to suddenly discover on a screen and a theater those images moving? And he was a fan of a lot of novel, a lot of movie like Fantomas, and we devoted a chapter about this influence as well.
Maybe I should say that the works on show are original photos.
Oh, okay.
They're not scans, they're not reproductions, and many don't have any negatives anymore.
No.
Oh, okay. Wow. That must be a bit scary for you, you know, like to know that... that's the final photo. Obviously, you're doing something about it.
Yeah, but I came here when I met Mark. I came here in April, last April, to see the place and to see how the place was reset, you know. And it's a very high level, the quality of protection and a very high level condition. And I must also add something that I lived the same thing in Charleroi. Charleroi, where I got the museum, Charleroi is a former industrial place. We had been disused in the mid-70s, you know, with a lot of workless and disemployed people who leave the country because it was a coal mine as well and steel part. And culture, not only the museum I had, but some other activities, theater, rock stage, etc., etc., some other museum as well, are changing slowly the face of the country. And now before people were talking about my city town as a Chicago, Belgian Chicago, you know,
yeah.
And now they are looking as a new Berlin.
Okay.
So I think it was very important. I understand what Mark wanted to do, rising up the image of the La Trobe and Morwell and all this area through the culture. And they did it very well. So yeah. I was also pleased to give a little step about that.
So back in Belgium, is he a household name? Is he very famous?
Oh yeah, it's absolutely internationally famous. He got his own museum nearby the Museum of Modern Art in Belgium. It's probably more visited than the Museum of Modern Art. He's a Belgian artist. It's a regional artist, but in the same time, it's absolutely international. And it's what's make Magritte probably more different than the other artists, because even if it's not the kind of clothes that you will use that is on the paintings, even if it's not the kind of house that you will face walking in the street, we are talking about words, you know. And that's why Magritte's language is very, very important, very international, and what he had a strong influence on other artists and also on advertising. And well, we are the generation who could remain an example. The cover of Angie of the Rolling Stones is just an interpretation of a painting of 1934 of René Magritte, the breast with lips on the body and the women body. Just to give an example, and everyone know the apple that he put front of the face of a man to hide his face. So it's for me it's a very familiar artist, and at the same time a very international artist.
Yeah, well the name here doesn't mean as much, but obviously the gallery's going to change all that.
You're here on Joy 94.9. We're talking to Xavier and Mark in regard about the Magritte exhibition on at the La Trobe Regional Gallery. Now, we were talking just before the break to you, Xavier, about the Magritte Gallery in Belgium. Now, is it in Brussels or?
It's in Brussels. There are two places people may visit if they're interested by Magritte. There's a Museum of Magritte with the paintings. The beginning of this collection, they say, came from a good friend of René Magritte. The name is Louis Kuttner. I knew him very well. He was he's a fantastic poet. And he was one of the first to buy paintings in Magritte in 1927, at the time that nobody wanted to. Mm. And he collected work all his life. So he had, when he passed away in 1987, he had about 60 paintings, 40 gouache and sketches and drawings. So it was the beginning of a museum. That's the first museum that people could visit. And there's also a house of René Magritte, the house where he lived from 1930, if I remember, or 31, till 1954, and they set the stuff more or less. It's not so much about his painting, it's more about how he lived. There's two places, most places.
Yeah. Okay. His art, as you pointed out, some of the really famous one, the Apple one in particular, which is, would that be his most famous?
He wasn't that happy about to be famous. He used to say in a lot of letters, he had difficulties to deal with gallery because when he started to have a little notoriety, the galleries asked him to have the kind of painting he made 5-10 years ago. And he wanted to follow his search. So he said, no, you have to help me to do my search. So he never wanted to have a lot of money, never wanted to be rich, let's say, neither to be famous. He just wanted to have peace, as he said, to take away all the daily life question, to have the time to think. And what is very funny is that at the end of his life, he started to have a lot of money. Paintings grew up, but he didn't change his way to live. He bought a new house to please his wife because his wife works a lot for him. She had to work for many years
to support him
as a sailor in a shop, etc. So he bought her furs, he bought her a new house, etc. But he keep going on walking with his dog on the street, keep going on, take the bus or the tramway. And the funny thing is that one day, to please Georgette, his wife, he bought a car, he didn't know how to drive the car. So the garage bring him a guy, a monitor, to explain.
Yeah.
And the next day, he broke the car. He had an accident. and he left the car, he keep going on, going on tramway. He didn't absolutely wanted to change his life. He traveled very few. He was invited in United States in 1963. But what he preferred is to remain, to stay at home with his dog, listening music and have a good night's sleep, I always said, He was a very simple man, at the point that when he passed away, the Belgian TV or radio made an inquiry, an investigation, and I wrote to the neighbor saying, that the famous painter René Magritte was one of your neighbors. And people couldn't believe that man with a coat, with a hat, with his dog on the street, was a great painter. He had the daily life like anyone,
Yeah. Don't you love to hear stories like that? That, that really is all about the art. Now, Mark, this is obviously a big turning point for the gallery, and congratulations on you for picking up this great exhibition. So, what's next for the gallery? Where do you go from here after this exhibition, which is open now and runs to the 19th of November?
Yeah, we are right now doing a lot of publicity. in different ways. Digital strategies are being sort of enacted, and radio has been contacted just to bring people in, because it is a relatively unknown regional gallery, you know, for people in Melbourne or beyond.
And it's in Morwell.
Yeah, Morwell. You can reach it within, say, 2 hours by train.
Yep.
Or by car. Direct from Flint Street Station to Morwell Station, and then from Morwell Station, it's about a 10 minutes walk.
So. And it must be an important time for the rest of the community as well in the town.
Yeah, it's a community in transition, so there's a lot of possibility, and with a lot of possibility, there's a lot of uncertainty. And we hope to be one of a number of parties that provide a civic space that people feel good about, a cultural space that is mostly free, except for this exhibition. It's a ticketed show. And where we remain active as a place for discussion or stimulation. You will see a variety of work of that, you know, doesn't necessarily go along one medium or one historical period. Some work you will love, some work you will dislike. So, for instance, next in a few weeks' time, we have a show opening of South African video art, which was last shown at the Tate in London, featuring about 17 South African video artists. Some are well known, like William Kentridge, but there'll be a bunch of others that you may not know so well. And there's young South African artists, you know, starting to establish themselves on the world stage. So we have that, and we have currently a work by an underrepresented Australian artist called Dennis Babois from Sydney, who is more well known outside of Australia than he is here. And that's a real bugbear for me. I think we should support mid-career artists and late-career artists. And so I've also been talking with other artists who are quite old, who used to have a large profile, who were maybe showing at the Venice Biennale, and we really want to give them a platform to work, you know.
Well, as I said, you know, look, congratulations on bringing this exhibition. I can't wait to see it. And you sold it beautifully this afternoon. You Belgium, French Belgium,
let's try.
Is pretty good. He was a bit worried that we weren't going to be able to understand him. We understand you perfectly.
Thank you for your comprehension.
Is there a catalogue for sale?
There's more than a catalogue. There's a book I've wrote, and the publisher is Ludion. For the moment, it's on sale online or in the regional gallery, but it will be on stores at the 1st of September. And it's in English, of course, and we didn't print yet the French version, so it's going to come, because it's important what you say. You must know that this exhibition will be only show once in Australia. Next time we'll be in Hong Kong, so it's a little bit far away.
Yep.
And so it's a good opportunity, it's a great opportunity to see this exhibition, because there won't be another possibility on the Australian territory. And as it had been said before, it's very easy to get there, you know. I took the train from Morwell to Melbourne, it's 2 hours direct. People even don't have to take the car, you could perfectly make it in one day.
And it's pleasant doing a train trip. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for your invitation.
It's wonderful to meet somebody from Belgium. I love Belgians. They're wonderful people. And of course, get down to La Trobe Regional Gallery, and from the 19th of August, which is now, until the 19th of November, a wonderful exhibition. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You're here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.